Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
The half-time intervals slowly but surely coming to an end across the country. I think it is still the break at Ibrox. Andrew, any changes in the offing, do we think?
I'm not sure. It looks as if there are going to be many, if any. It looks as if the full allocation of outfield substitutes for Rangers have been out there warming up, so I don't imagine Barry Ferguson is going to be making any changes at half-time. The Hibs team just making their way out onto the pitch at the moment as well. You wouldn't imagine that David Gray will be quick to make switches either, but there is just a real frustration around the place from Rangers supporters. At half-time, it wasn't quite the level of booing that we've heard previously here, but there certainly were a few here and there around the stadium. Just a real lack of control in this game from Rangers so far, and then they go and concede after 9 minutes. Once again, fingers pointed at Jack Butland, because when Dylan Levin caught that strike, it was a really good strike. He caught it well, but Jack Butland, he was already well positioned. He got down low to his right and it just seemed to squirm straight through him, and he'll be really frustrated with that one, Jack Butland, and so will these Rangers supporters. At the other end, it's that side of Cyril Dessers that we see quite a lot. He may well score in this game, he may well play a big part in this game if Rangers do go on to get a result, but it's just that regular sight of seeing him pass up chances. He's getting frustrated with it as well, but David Gray will be happy. They haven't blown Rangers away, they have given up some chances, but you will do that when you come to Ibrox. But no changes for Hibs. Rangers back out as well, no changes for them either. Nico Raskin standing over the ball, and we're just about to get underway for the second half.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Get advice on keeping infections and viruses away when school returns.
You're not allowed to change your predictions anyway, but just out of curiosity, do you think Rangers come back and win this?
On Barry Ferguson form, yes they do.
I'm not so sure. I think they'll come back and worst would be a draw. I'm not surprised they've not made any substitutions, because everybody looks at Barry. The minute things aren't going right, he changes formation or he changes players. Hibs are leading because of a Jack Butland mistake. They've dominated the possession, so I think Rangers will come back into it.
I think it's a tough one. I'm happy to say that if Hibs get the second goal, they won't come back and win. They might get a point, so depends on the next goal.
Yeah, it's maybe not quite it's crazy conversation to have, Gordon, if we're trying to rank Rangers bad performances, but it's not like that Motherwell day. I don't think quite, you know, Hibs have had one shot and it's gone in, it's gone through Jack Butland, but nevertheless, Rangers fans still looking for more.
There's two disappointing things to the first half. One was obviously the goalkeeper's mistake. I've had a look at my phone and stuff like that. Their stats, I think they're 70-odd% possession, which is very good in a football game. But I think where the frustration is, I don't think they're creating enough clear-cut chances. I think Dessers has had one or two, and you know what like it is. If he doesn't hit the back of the net, the fans have a little moan at him. But it's all about the response now. But Hibs have got something to hold on to, and they've always got a danger in them going forward as well.
Dessers tried to run in behind but went down under pressure from Bashiri, claimed a foul. Weardry 1, Partick Thistle 0 in the Mark Wilson derby. He's trailing Chris Mockery with the goal. They've not lost yet, Mark Wilson and Brian Graham, have they?
The minute you pick up that manager of the month, you know the following game you're losing. I'm gutted for him. You know, I just hope that he can find that strength and that tactical situation, that decision. This is where it'll really test him. He will have to make a big decision now.
You're trying to take away from him. They've been flying manager of the month.
I'm not taking away anything. I'm praising him to the heavens.
Doesn't sound like it.
Well, I've got air in my curtain. And I'm delighted.
Please gamble responsibly.
It's only a pound.
I can't wait to hear you two on Tuesday night.
He's not on Tuesday. I don't deal with him on Tuesday. Listen, he came in here big time on Thursday.
He didn't even bring his trophy.
He
I told
did.
Him
he
to
had
bring
it in his car. I seen it up on his dashboard. And I'm thinking, oh, here we go again. And with
Kelty 0, Dumbarton 4.
Oh, true.
Said Charlie Mulgrew was already having a tough time of it. Dumbarton are relegated already, remember?
I know.
Kelty are at home. So that's, it's a really, really bad one. And Scott Allen involved there as well. I need to check. Is he playing? Is he in the bench? Is he to blame for any of this? I'll wait and see. Bit of good news for you, Hugh. You'll like this. And congratulations. They're obviously just along the road. We have a soft spot, Clyde Bank. Yep. It's been in the post for a while, but they've now officially won in the West of Scotland Premier. They are champions.
And have not lost a game all season.
Yeah, I think everyone knew they were going to win it. They were about 56 points ahead. But they beat Benburb 5-0, I think. Maybe 4 or 5-0. 5-0. So there we go. Well done to the Bankies.
Along there. When I come by all the time and you can see the fans marching along the road.
How many people?
Oh, well, I counted 40 count today. Yeah, 40. Well,
you remember when they went to Hibs? I know it's the Scottish Cup and a great day out and all the rest, but they took over 2,000 people to Easter Road that day.
They delayed the kickoff, didn't they? They were all getting pictures and stuff on the pitch.
Ah, great news. Congratulations to him. And obviously a boy that I know very well, the manager, Gordon Moffat. I signed him. And obviously he's had a lot of good things have rubbed off, and he's taken that on his career going forward, and I'm delighted to see that.
Absolute nonsense, honestly.
That's not nonsense, I did.
Let's do this, Hugh, whilst we get the chance.
Okay.
The second half teaser.
With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
I have played with Gail Bigiramana and Aaron Moy. I have been managed by Neil Lennon and Stuart McCall. And I've won only one major trophy. Who am I? Played with Gail Bigiramana and Aaron Moy. Managed by Neil Lennon and Stuart McCall. And won only one major trophy in my career. Who am I?
Good question. It's really good. Because I can see the answer. And I know it's
do you know the answer? Yes, obviously.
Nah, I like it. I like it a lot. Get your thinking caps on. Come on. It is a race at Clyde SSB. Let's hear your name. Let's throw all sorts out there. Get as many suggestions in as we can and see what we come up with. There was a red card check for Nicholas Raskin on Nectar Triantis, but doesn't come to anything. Play on, check complete. Falkirk have a free kick.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
And Ethan Ross sticks it in the top corner. Falkirk 4, Morton 0. Fair play to him because Scott Arfield wanted it as well. Ethan Ross said, I'll take that, thank you. Top corner. And if Falkirk weren't out of sight already, they certainly are now.
Yeah, they are. And they deserve it. And I look forward to them being in a 12-team Premiership next season.
Yes, Gordon, they're absolutely cruising towards it now, aren't they?
Yeah, flying. I think the nail was in the coffin when Livingston lost midweek, and Dave Martindale and everyone knew that. They've been the best team. Let's not be kidded here. I think it was Jim Duffy made a great prediction at the beginning of the season.
By the way, what about that?
Yeah, back to
before
back.
Before a ball was kicked, he said they would get double promotion.
Duff will be getting his car and going and picking them up and bring them to his studio as a guest.
I think if John McGlynn is such a fan of Super Scoreboard, it would only be courtesy to invite John McGlynn into the studio.
Oh, good point. We could do that when they've wrapped up the league. I'm sure producer John in here wouldn't mind that.
Oh, he'll drive him.
Drive him
home.
It's no driving I'm worried about, I must admit. We'll try and keep him apart. He'll be a manager of the year contender, won't he?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Did he win something last year? Was it last year? When he's won that before, hasn't he? John McGlynn's won that before. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, I think.
Has he won
right.
The Writers or he won Fraser's?
I think he did win it last year, did he not?
Big news, Hugh. I know you've not been invited, obviously.
Snubbed.
Obviously, Fraser waiting to count the people at council. And if he can sneak you in at the last moment, you're there. But the important, the A-listers' invitations are already out there.
How did you get an invite when you blew them off for take that last
take
year?
Was it take that, Wesley? I can't remember.
Take that. You take went that. To see instead of going. You still got another invite.
Ah, oh, Fraser. Fraser and I go back a long way.
Shameless.
Close.
Is there an age limit this year? Is that the
well, maybe.
What excuse are you going to come up with this year?
I don't know. Walking the budgie. I don't know. I'll get something.
Walking the budgie.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Kilmarnock 2, Motherwell 0, and it's Joe Wright. It's just a corner, it's to the back post. He's a big laddie, as they say, and he heads it back across goal over everyone. And into the far corner. Motherwell down to 10 men already, and this looks like a long afternoon.
Right for Kilmarnock, wrong for Motherwell. And you can't really see 10 men coming back to get anything, not even a draw. So Derek McInnes has achieved what he set out to do. He's quieting down the noise. Interesting, if we get a call after five from a Killy fan who was there. So does this make everything all right again? How good was it? Or are they still of a mind that it's time to change manager?
I think the most important thing was for everyone concerned, Kilmarnock, go back to winning ways. Get yourself a little bit of breathing space. I know Dundee are winning as well. That just brings, and Ross County losing, Motherwell losing, that just brings it all together. It's going to be a really exciting finish to the season.
Yeah, Motherwell have brought Jir Tavares on, with no disrespect to him. I'm not sure that'll make any of the Motherwell fans too excited about the thought of a comeback. I think that looks well gone now. Hoylett's cut into his right and fired over the bar for Hibs.
Yeah, very surprising what's going on at Ibrox. You know, you look at the overall body of work that Barry Ferguson, Neil McCann, Billy Dodds, Alan McGregor have presented since they came in on an interim management basis. And it's a peculiar story. A peculiar story of dodgy defending, dodgy goalkeeper, the occasional fight back.
And see, just Tori, on that, we're talking about the bottom of the table being tight. Earlier on, I think one of you got it wrong. Did you not say that would be 6 points between Motherwell and Dundee as things stand? Who said that?
I think it was Ross, if it's wrong.
Nah, it wasn't Ross. It was one of you. It was.
It's only 4 points,
it's
isn't
only
it?
Four.
Yeah, sorry, it was me. I'll own up to that one. I'll take that one.
Only 4 points between the sides now.
And as I say, before the split, Motherwell play Hearts, and Hearts are a real decent side. So that's why I'm with Hugh and most of the guys. Yeah, you can see the point of getting a couple of more teams in there, because if you look at that league, the Championship, there are teams in there that will bring good numbers, good support, good players, full time, everything about it. But I just feel that we've got a good product. We're excited. We're looking forward to this weekend. We're looking forward to the next weekend before the split. And everything works well for us, as far as I'm concerned.
You get Falkirk, big crowds, good football, good manager. You could also get Livingston or Ayr United by virtue of the playoff system. So you do get the possibility of two out of the Championship coming up. So that, as I say, for me, the system works well and brings in crowds.
St Mirren are playing better. They brought on some subs a while ago. I should have told you about them, but we were in the midst of something. Olasanya came on for Idowu, Tanzer came on for Alibiosu at the break, and it has sparked a bit of an upturn from St Mirren, but they do still trail by that very early goal to nil. Well, Simon Murray,
I like Olasanya. I think he could play at a higher level. And he's a one-man SWAT team. He's terrorised Celtic and Rangers this season. Scored against Rangers in another one of their off days at Ibrox. So, Olasanya, I'd look out for him.
I still think their goal's there. Yeah. Dundee need the next one, because they really do ship goals for fun. I think if Tony Dock won 1-0, I don't think the 3 points would please him as much as a clean sheet would please. Yeah.
It's not going to finish 1-0. I go back to my predictions. I've took Dundee to beat St Mirren, so if that's anything to go by, St Mirren are going to come back into it.
Welcome to my world. Yeah.
You're not filling the people out there with a lot of confidence with that sort of a negativity there.
The stats back it up.
How's the teaser looking, Hugh?
Okay, very simple question. I have played with Gail Bigirimana and Aaron Moy. I have been managed by Neil Lennon and Stuart McCall, and I have won only one major trophy. Who am I?
Throw as many names in as you can. Kenneth Thompson thinks it's Chris Cadden.
Nope.
Matthew Breckenridge thinks it's Yusuf Malumbu.
And it's not.
Jack thinks it's David Turnbull.
Nope.
That's okay. What I went for.
Keep your guesses coming. He's too late to be managed by he's too young to be managed by Stuart McCall at Motherwell. Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah.
Nah. No, you're off there. Stuart McCall left Motherwell 10 years ago.
Where else is he? Bradford. Bradford, Stuart McCullough.
Bradford, yeah.
Is he not with where's Paul Heckenbottom? Preston?
Preston still? Just now, yeah. He's at Preston, yeah.
Never quite keep up, to be perfectly honest with you. But there we go. None of them are correct answers yet. So at Clyde,
Jim, they got it.
SSB, yeah. Yep. Cherny off, Barani on. Is that more of a nod to Thursday, yeah, do you think?
I think it's a nod to the fact that I don't think Cherny was 100%.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, and they've obviously looked at, what is the point of keeping them there? They need a change, they need a spark, they need a goal.
Because if you need to win this today and it's your most important game,
he ain't coming off the pitch.
He's not, is he?
No, I agree with you.
Unless he's struggling, you know, physically.
In Clement's days, we all remember only too well, it was all about sports science and who should be fit enough to play. Clement would not have played Cherny today. Barry Ferguson took a chance, and either there's a tweak in the hamstring, or he's thought, right, I've given him an hour.
Dessers one-on-one with the goalkeeper, shot saved, and flag up. That's quite a serial Dessers combination, that, isn't it?
The Dazzler's got it.
Wraith Rovers have scored against Ayr. Dylan Easton with it. What does that do to the championship table? It means that Falkirk can just be getting, well, I was going to say getting closer, but Livy are winning today, so.
Well, it means that Livy will leapfrog Ayr if the score lines become results. Libby in second,
yep,
place.
That's true. Yep, 3 points ahead now.
But
And Mark Wilson and Brian Graham, Wraith would just be 3 points behind them.
Yeah, how many games are still going at?
Still four.
Four games.
Yeah.
That could be tight. The trophies we can take back off them.
Ooh.
By 5 o'clock.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Dundee 2, St Mirren 0, Simon Murray 2, St Mirren 0, 63 minutes gone, and he is really showing what he can do in front of goal at the moment, Simon Murray. We mentioned it earlier, he had moved on to 14 for the season, that's him on 15, he goes level with Daizen Maeda at the top of the Scottish Premiership goal scoring charts, and it's one that makes things very interesting at the bottom if that result stays the way it is.
The man who makes all the difference, Simon Murray. And has done since he came into the team. So as things stand at the moment, you've got Dundee, should they win, on 34 points, Kilmarnock on 35 points, Ross County are on 35 points, and Motherwell slightly above on 38.
This is a day we could really be saying goodbye to St Johnstone in the Premier League.
You think so?
Yeah, because you can't imagine if that stays.
So it's Dundee and Killy moving away.
Yeah,
and
they play Celtic tomorrow. So that would be the end of it. Mm. And St Johnstone would be definitely down.
Mm. Playing Celtic tomorrow, 52 points between the sides. If Celtic didn't beat St Johnstone tomorrow, it'd be professional negligence.
Will Simon Murray come in for one of the nominees for Player of the Year?
Well,
got to, hasn't
he? Why not?
He's got to. I know Maeda's stick on for it, but what a season he's had. And you're looking at a team that's sitting 11th.
A lot of
where
people still mention Dalby, don't they?
Who?
A lot of people still mention Dalby when they're talking about performers and stuff.
Yeah.
Simon Murray's, his numbers now are outperforming him.
Oh, Motherwell are down to 9 men.
What? They're trying to get the game postponed.
Yeah,
where's it going? 7-7. Yeah.
He's been sent off as well. VAR's going to have a look to see if it can bail him out. But they're 2-0 down and potentially down to 9 men. This is a all-time bad afternoon for Motherwell.
That's fate telling you something. So Andy, it'll be good Monday night. I look forward to listening to that.
He'll be tired if he stays on, and he'll do a lot of running.
You'll be the first man to come in here in a stretcher.
I'm worried. I've got to be honest, right, I'm worried about Motherwell. I really am. I think Dundee can score goals. I think Kilmarnock can
Matthew McDermott's going to the screen like he did earlier on. So I think it's for like a violent sort of conduct accusation, although he did slide in initially. I think there's a few different things. No, I think the decision's going to stand.
So they're down to 9.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. There's a bit of argy-bargy on the touchline, I think. Is that the Motherwell kit man, I think, is over with Derek McInnes? It's all kicking off, my goodness.
Big Aldo, I wouldn't be messing with him, I tell you that.
Like Big Aldo, good lad.
Right, it can't have been for the tackle initially. I think there's just a sort of throws himself at Danny Armstrong after, Something a bit more out of the Six Nations. I don't know if there's enough for a red. Just a bit of afters on the tackle. So we'll take a look and see what the referee can. He has been called to the monitor, so he's clearly been asked, or not asked to overturn it, that's not true. But he's going to change it to yellow, I think. Yes, he's going to change it to yellow. So
10 men still.
Yeah, 10 men. Anyway,
that was a close one. Another.
It's still one that, no, it's, what's the score? 2?
Yeah, it's 2-0.
2, yeah, finish.
It's a strange one though, because usually the players wait around. But he'd almost gone down the tunnel and has had to come back. The tunnel's in the corner.
That's a sure sign of guilt, isn't it? Right, I'm off.
Do you know what though? He's just signed and he probably hasn't played many games with VAR. I know that sounds like crazy, but there was a penalty check there for a Tavernier handball, but it's not going to be given. His arms were close to his side. So Rangers still though not enjoying the bit
I'm a bit disappointed that that substitution that will turn the game for Rangers hasn't been made. Bring on their number 3, Dodds will get a few goals for him. He will certainly get a few goals up front.
Yes, this was one of the Beat the Pundit questions during the week. If you didn't hear it, you really did miss out. Who is Rangers' current number 3?
It's Billy Dodds.
Well, it's Red Van Yilmaz, because he wears number 3.
That wasn't a question.
But Gordon DL said Billy Dodds and gave us all a good laugh.
Were you happy with the answer, Hugh?
Oh yeah, it was great. I was laughed out loud at
it home. It wasn't who wears Rangers number 3 shirt. It's who's Rangers number 3.
Yeah,
Billy Dodds.
I'll tell you what it has done. It's bailed me out. That's worse than my 180 penalty shout this season.
Yeah, anything can happen on tiebreakers. Barami hits the bar for Rangers. That's about as close as they've come.
I'll be disappointed if Barry and his staff. And it is, because if you're looking at Barry, everybody's thinking he's doing a great job and, you know, showing great character. He's not won at Ibrox yet. He's got to get that first win at Ibrox. And so far now he's chasing the game. I still believe they'll get back into it. Do I believe that they're going to go and win it like they've been doing? No, I don't. I don't think Hibs will give up 2 goals this afternoon.
I've had a look at your phone. Do you believe that Tavernier touched the ball with his arm?
I think the suggestion is Andrew McLean gave us quite a good update on it, is that it definitely hits his arm, but the arm's by the side. But interesting to see what David Gray says on it, because the ball travels a long way and it bounces in front of him. But I think, you know, we talk about the arm having to be outstretched for it to be given, so it's probably what gets him off with it.
My biggest worry there was when you said you had a look at my phone.
Scott Arfield is off. Gordon DL, will be no hat trick for your man. Are you okay with that?
I'm delighted with that. What's the point? I know that every player likes to get the hat trick. He's been brought in to do a job. Exceptional. He's got Falkirk over a line. He's been a great sign. Great sign.
You've got to be fuming though, haven't you, if you're a player on a hat trick 4-0 up.
But we were talking about this, I think it was last week, that you don't get many players now in a hat. I was the same. If I'd scored 2 and the manager even thought he'd take me off, I would be going off my rocker. But because of the amount of substitutions now, because of the amount of games that we're now talking about, the minute you've got to, they tend now just to, you've done your job, off you come, and we'll change something about. You're right, there's nothing better in a game of football, Ross, than scoring a hat trick. Because let me tell you now, I should know.
How many did you get?
Oh, 3 in 1 week. And I'll tell you, it would have been 4, but we didn't have an hour game.
Did you actually? Because I've heard that line before. 3 in 1 week?
Yeah, 9 goals.
How many hat tricks for you, Ross?
4. One of them was 4.
Nice. So, against?
Charlton away.
Who would the other? Testing them. This is your life.
Make them up. Man United.
When was the Derby game home to Huddersfield for Leeds? 2 were for Fulham. I can't really remember who they were against.
I just see when you do it so often, Hugh, they just they all merge into one.
It's amazing you gave the answer so quickly. I was reading the boxer, ex-boxer Gary Jacobs. I was reading his book.
I know Gary very well. Yeah.
And he said he remembered every round of every fight, and he had 45, I think. You gave the answer right away as if you remember every game that you ever played.
No, that's not the case. I've forgot so much that's happened in my career.
Here's a big question, and I hate this when footballers answer it. First game and last game you ever played?
What do you mean you hate when footballers answer that?
Because why would you even remember that?
Everybody remembers
that. I have no idea if I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I'm no one in the money.
And the question was, who was your own debut against?
Yes, and who was my last game against?
Well, Ross, I know the first part of it because Ross told me earlier on that his first game he replaced Mikel Arteta.
Motherwell at home, actually, yes. We won 4-0. The last game, honestly, I don't think I could tell you that.
Australia somewhere though?
No, it would have been Aldershot Town in the National League.
Okay.
I made a couple of appearances there, but I've got no idea who it was against.
Hibs have the ball in the net. The flag is up, but it will be checked.
That would be a massive blow. They're not coming back from that. Rangers fans will have their fingers crossed. So will Barry Ferguson, if I'm honest. But look, I still think that Rangers, if this goal doesn't stand, I still think Rangers could sneak one. But I don't think it'll be the usual escape by going on and picking up the 3 points winning.
Sub for Kilmarnock, they've pretty much done their job. David Watson on, Rory McKenzie off, they're 2-0 up, Motherwell are down to 10. Rangers defence did look a bit all over the place on that, but I guess if he was off, then he was off. So we'll take a look. It was a long ball to Martin Boyle, and we know he's quick, which can be a frustration then. If he has gone too early, why do you need to, and all that stuff that you hear. But VAR will take a look and find out if that Hibs goal will stand.
Well, the subway will need to be prepared.
Maybe I've just worded that wrongly. There is no goal to stand yet, but he went right through the middle. He kept his composure, slipped it under the legs of Jack Butland. Straight away the flag was up though. So we'll just wait and see. Still no outcome yet, I don't think. Double change for Motherwell. Probably too late to do anything. Maswanisi and Dixon on. Armstrong and Thompson off. Some big goals going in down the league. Some games that are out of sight now. Cove 0, Inverness 3. Steny 0, Alloa 3. Still nothing on this offside. Did you see the one last night? Because it's the semi-automated, so naturally it's going to bring it down to this. Was it Italy? Someone was off. Their ear was offside.
Their ear?
Yeah.
See, that's the case, right? I wouldn't have scored a goal. My nose would have been offside and I'd been in my own half.
Well, we've got an outcome on that Martin Boyle decision. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Rangers 0, Hibs 2, and Hibs are 20 minutes away from a first win at Ibrox since 2018. They would stretch their unbeaten run in the Scottish Premiership to 16, strengthen their hold on third, and pile some misery on Barry Ferguson's Rangers. They've shown character. You all keep telling us on the phones in recent weeks they're going to need to find a lot of it here because it's Rangers 0, Hibs 2.
All I ever read about is Rangers DNA and how Barry Ferguson has restored Rangers DNA. Well, I'm afraid that the performances don't back that up, because this is on the way to being the fifth defeat in a row at Ibrox. It's symptomatic of life under Barry Ferguson in that it's chaotic defending, and if they get 3 points out of this, I'd be very, very surprised.
Yeah, they can't keep giving themselves a mountain to climb and keep thinking they're going to bail themselves out. It's not happening. My big concern, if I was Barry right now, is Rangers give you goals. They give up goals too easily for me.
That's going to happen again, that long ball. This is set up for Martin Boyle on the counter-attack if Rangers start pushing. We'll see that again in this game.
The beauty of VAR, you get two celebrations. The Hibs fans were ecstatic, then quiet, now ecstatic again. Two celebrations for one. Two goals to nil.
Yeah, absolutely. It's turning into a famous day for Hibs. It was probably... So Martin Boyle was almost in his own half. Obviously he can't be offside there, but I think there was a foot or a knee or whatever you want to call it just inside the Rangers half. But similarly, I think Dujon Sterling was probably just about playing him onside. He tried his best to get back, but Martin Boyle, who again, he personally is having a brilliant season as well. That's him up to 11 league goals for the season. He's been a real beneficiary of this change, you know, playing as that sort of striker now more, Gordon. Because people kept saying that, you know, Martin Boyle is finished. He's now 17 in all competitions in the season.
I think you're right. I think a lot of people wrote him off. Thought he was at his end of his career. He wasn't going to contribute. Hibs are down the bottom of the league, and then all of a sudden, goals change absolutely everything. I've just seen that goal, Gordon. And if I'm Barry Ferguson, I'm looking at my defence and asking, How can one ball, a straight ball, go through every single one of my defenders?
Jack Butland has just had to make another save from Martin Boyle.
They're all over the place. Look, he knows they've got a problem at the back. They went to a back three. They changed to a four. There's no sort of you wouldn't imagine what they're going to play next Thursday. They might go back to that back three again with the two wing backs. And I think the players look like they're all over the place. You cannot play at that level at Ibrox and play with Rangers and see one ball. It's the easiest ball I've ever seen.
It's quite a stat, Hugh. 2-0 down for the sixth time in their last eight games.
Yeah, as I say, you look at the body of work that the four gentlemen have produced since becoming the interim management team, and that's not a blueprint for success. It's far too chaotic. It's defensively shambolic. And a Hibs team who haven't won at Ibrox for 7 years are running amok now. And for me, questions galore for Thursday night. Athletic Bilbao, fourth in La Liga, going to Ibrox, as Ross McCormack said, that's not the way you want the tie to be. Home first, away second. Questions galore about team selection for Thursday.
It's not beyond the realms of possibility Rangers get a draw or better here, Ross, because they've done it. But just as we sit here currently, Rangers heading for a fifth consecutive home defeat. That is unbelievable.
It's absolutely insane. But I said earlier when we were speaking about it, if Hibs get the second goal, this is a different calibre of opposition. No disrespect to the other teams in the SPL, but Hibs going there, 15 unbeaten, huge vein of confidence, great form. If they go 2-0 up, I just didn't feel as if Rangers would have had it enough to get back. And the way it's sounding like just now, it looks as if anyone's going to score a third goal, it's going to be Hibs again.
Diomande off for Danilo.
Yeah, I think he's just trying to change things up. He's looking for a spark. He's looking for a next goal to get him back into this game. I think this is the reason I said I thought Rangers would come back in, but I didn't think they'd win the game, is because I think this is a different Hibs side, mindset, confidence, organisation, everything about them. So all of a sudden, once again, we keep saying it, a mountain to climb for Rangers. I don't know if they're going to be able to climb it this afternoon.
See the way this game's set up with Martin Boyle on the break. See if Martin Boyle's pace is troubling Rangers. Athletic Bilbao on Thursday night have got two brothers, the Williams brothers, who are absolutely electric. They will fancy this on Thursday night if they watch this game back.
Goal in the Championship.
Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Falkirk 5, Morton 0. Barney Stewart with the header. And they're doing this in some style, knowing Dougie Imrie as we do. I don't think he'll be taking this too well.
I know Dougie very well, and he will not be. And is Kelty in real trouble now, isn't
he? Yeah, Kelty 0, Dumbarton 5.
Yeah, and just in case MD wants to know, Nick Rocket has won this entry Grand National.
Thanks for. I'd honestly forgotten. I feel disappointed myself. We usually bring you that every year.
Do you know?
Show.
I feel really disappointed because I bet numbers or names. My daughter's name's Nicola, Nick,
and you're a rocket,
and I'm a rocket. So Nick and Rocket went hand in hand, and I can't believe I missed out on it.
There you go. Congratulations to those of you who gambled responsibly, and were successful. Not you. You weren't on that one, no.
No, I'm not really. That's not my. If there was a wee sweep, or I was putting a pound or something on, I would have went with a name, and brilliant. And my daughter texts me to say she's very happy tonight that her dad's a rocket, and I named her Nick. So I got something right this afternoon.
Wasn't number three, was it? That's your favourite number. Yes.
Sorry. You having a go at me? All right, okay. 180 penalties.
Gutrumbus for Slattery. Motherwell just now sort of making changes for the sake of it. I don't think anything will change in that one. Killy 2 up. Motherwell have been down to 10 men for quite some time. That'll be that to you, that game, won't it? I think we've seen that for a while.
Yeah, I think the I'm looking down the card. I cannot see Rangers get anything out of this game now. Motherwell will get nothing out of the game at Kilmarnock. 2 down, same as Rangers.
St Mirren will get nothing out of Dundee. Two down, same as Rangers and Kilmarnock. Aberdeen, well, they're only one up, and therefore there's room for doubt. But I don't think so. I think we're done for the day in terms of who wins. Hibs will win at Ibrox, Kilmarnock will win at home, as will Dundee, and Aberdeen will win away from home. So pick the bones out of that.
Is Aberdeen still one? Sorry.
Yeah, still one. Yeah.
Still, don't write Ross County are a really funny side.
But that's the only ground where there's any dubiety for me.
Yeah, a bit of drama to come.
I just think the big story of the day is obviously another Rangers defeat at home, another major blunder by the goalkeeper, and what about team selection for Thursday against Athletic Bilbao on a night when John Souter can't play because he's suspended? But John Souter was also part of the Rangers defence today that have been
and last week.
Yeah, that have been taken apart.
It's worth, I just want to keep reminding you, I don't always give you League One results, but just for a bit of context, Dumbarton were the first team in Britain to be relegated, and they're now 6-0 up at Kelty Hearts.
Yeah, I said earlier that I hate to see young managers just in their first job, just getting in the door. You don't survive results like that.
No.
Especially at home against a team, you're right, is relegated, are probably just going there and playing with the freedom that they want to play with. But that is an absolute nightmare for Charlie.
Sometimes you have to take matters in isolation. And 6-0 at home to a team already relegated, and given the state that Dumbarton Football Club are in, their very existence is a matter for conjecture. That result, well, it's not yet a result, it could get worse, but 6-0 at home, a defeat of that magnitude, is the watershed moment.
This might sum up Motherwell's day. The game's been held up because Ellery Balcombe's gone into the dressing room to find a spare glove.
A spare glove.
Or he's just using that as an excuse and he's had to go and, you know, just go to the bathroom.
Yeah, well, I would probably say it's the latter there. I'm starting to worry about Motherwell. I really am. I liked when the new manager came in. I liked the approach. I liked going to Ibrox and he gets the result and you're thinking, oh, this is something different. We've heard that he's changed training to 3 o'clock, like kick-off times. I think
only the day before a game, I think.
Yeah, I still think that's the biggest nonsense I've ever heard in my life. Somebody will need to sit down and explain that to me. I think that's been done before. I think it was Lee Clark at Kilmarnock, that he would train at 3 o'clock every day, and then if it was a 7:30 kick-off, he would train the night before 7:30. And I can't grasp that.
Let's hear it for the Maryhill Mourinho.
Is he get back in yet?
1-1.
Yes, Sergi 1, Partick Thistle 1, Ben Stanway with the goal in 83 minutes. Why are you so disappointed? That is your friend. That is your best friend in the world.
I am over the moon for him. And do you know something? They're putting themselves in the position to get that permanently, which would be brilliant. If we can just get Ross a job. You know what I mean? It'd be a good Saturday, mate.
If I had a ticket for the players do at the end of the season,
exactly,
like,
yeah,
I'd see if Mark Wilson was a contender, but I don't have an invite to
exactly
them.
Fraser's not listening, he's not interested.
By the way, do you know something? It got to him because I came in and knew. I went, oh, have you got your... He's right here at the computer. I went, get me your junk mail. I'm in my junk mail. I'm in your junk mail.
You like early nights these days anyway, not a problem. Another dabble on your teaser, please.
I have played with Gail Bigirimana and Aaron Moy. I have been managed by Neil Lennon and Stuart McCall, and I've won only one major trophy in my career. Who am I?
Okay, there were a lot of wrong answers I was going to read to you. Now they've disappeared. That's not ideal. I kind of see what the answers were because they were all there a moment ago.
Do you like the pronunciation, Daz?
Bigirimana.
Gail Bigirimana.
Yeah, I was the one Mark struggled. Remember that day when he was sitting at Fir Park and didn't realise his mic was on? And he couldn't. He was practicing before he read out the teams. It was the most funniest 5 minutes ever.
Greg's Gardens wants to go for Tony Watt.
No.
Lyle Watson wants to go for Scott Allen.
No.
Okay, we'll round it off in, what are we saying, 5 minutes time or so?
Before the booing starts at Ibrox.
You think they will be booing?
Oh yeah. Why not? Why wouldn't they be?
Is it? No. I was listening to Andrew. I thought they'd have been a wee bit more, you know, disappointing.
I mean, those who are still there, I assume many people have gone to the subway or the car park, but why wouldn't they be booing?
I think the probably does become a sort of apathy bit, doesn't it? Because they, you know, they still they like Barry Ferguson in terms of who he is. Yeah. They know it doesn't make any difference to the league. You know, the season's been that bad that this doesn't even really matter. You know, I'm not saying they'll be happy, but in terms of that, like, furious rage, do you think that it doesn't really qualify?
I think
does
they'll
it?
Be, I think they'll be concerned because of the imminent arrival of Athletic Bilbao. But no matter who you are, no matter the stellar career that you've had at Rangers, you can't go on losing games.
No, no, of course not. But what I mean is the circumstances for, like, that the sad thing for Rangers is the angry bit's kind of gone. You know, that's how bad this season's been. It becomes,
yeah, there's
apathetic.
I think what Barry, to be fair, gave them was a bit of hope. I think we had someone on this show saying that Rangers will not lose another league game until the end of the season. So they were given hope, and you're thinking, what evidence do you back that up with? Because this team, they're weak at times.
Yeah.
You know, I know they've showed great character in the last few weeks coming back, but overall, as a team, they're weak. And they've come up against a side full of confidence, doing very well, well organised. And they've gave themselves, you know, once again, another hurdle. And it's not happened for them because this team's too well organised. David Gray's got them playing for each other. There's a lot of confidence in the Hibs team. This is a real disappointing afternoon.
Are you surprised that the likes of Hadji, for example, hasn't been brought on here to see if he can make any difference?
Well, I don't know. That's up to Barry. But I think he's lost the hunger, the appetite as well. I think he's a good player. I think they need to get to the end of the season.
Because he knows he's off at the end of the season.
Yeah, does this tell you? I wonder, here's one, and Gordon talks about, fans will stay there because of Barry Ferguson and what he was to the club. Does this change slightly fans' mindset of, is Barry the right man to take us forward?
I think it certainly influences it. And I think it all, you know, comes down to Bilbao, both at Ibrox and in the Basque country. You know,
it's also another game that Ibrox that they haven't won.
Yeah. Yeah. It's. If you examine it, I mean, Celtic at Perth tomorrow will go 16 points clear of Rangers. I mean, you're losing the league. Not just losing the league, you're not even particularly involved in the outcome. It's Celtic's. As I say, if Celtic don't win tomorrow, it would be professional negligence on their part. And they will win. But Rangers, you have to examine the whole picture here. And that includes the interim manager's position.
Rangers look a team like right now to me, Hugh, that go out on the pitch with the attitude of, we'll try and outscore you. You know what I mean? They'll not go out and say, do you know what, we're making sure we're getting a clean sheet and we're going to win 1-0 or we're going to win. They look at, yeah, we're going to lose goals, we're going to try and outscore you this afternoon. And it's worked for them. Let's be honest, it's worked for them. But as I say, they've come up against a different animal this afternoon and a team that's probably flying, playing at the top of their confidence. As I say, well organised as well. So unless something dramatic happens, you can't see them getting anything out of this game.
So that speeds things up, does it? If Celtic win tomorrow, they can win the league
points.
Next week.
Yeah.
Against Kilmarnock? At home.
That right? Yeah.
If they beat Kilmarnock.
Yeah, because then it would be, even if Rangers won, it would stay 16 with only five games to go.
Yeah, so
after next week, sorry.
Depending on what Rangers did at Pittodrie of all places.
No, but even at that, it then wouldn't. You know, Celtic could just do it off their own back.
Let me count that.
So it's 16 points if Celtic win tomorrow.
Yep.
And then if they both win next week, it stays 16 points.
Yeah, that's
there's
that.
Only five games left.
Yeah, you can
only amass 15 in that time. So unless I've got that wrong, somebody point it out, it's not impossible. My number crunching isn't what it perhaps should be. Full time whistles are going down the divisions, Hugh, which tells me we should probably do this.
Okay.
The second half teaser.
With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
I have played with Gail Biggeramana and Aaron Moy. I have been managed by Neil Lennon and Stuart McCall. And I've won only one major trophy in my career. Who am I? I am Darren McGregor.
Darren McGregor, well done if you got it right. It was Jamie Dock in third place, Chris Mick in second, and Scott Conney is the winner. Ashamed of Gordon DL. He's got a big smile on his face. And that's because Airdrie have scored to go 2-1 up against Partick Thistle in the last minute. You should be ashamed.
I'm devastated. It's either smile or cry, and I don't want to flood the studio with tears.
What a weak Airdrie have had.
And what that does to the championship table is it makes it very, very interesting at the bottom. You think of when everyone said that Airdrie were absolutely gone.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at that table currently in the Scottish Championship, you go down the bottom, you will find they are 3 points behind Dunfermline.
Yeah.
Is the Hamilton still winning?
Yes.
Oh, it's going to be very tight, didn't it? Do you know something? To be fair to Mark, he did say that he was very impressed where they thought that they were in a false position. They're certain to show that, gather a bit of momentum.
Igaman and Dessers off, Hadji and Curtis on. Rangers.
I do take the Dazzler's point that Hadji's mind is possibly away from Ibrox now and in another country to play his football next season. But he's still a player, and to bring him on with a couple of minutes to go and you're 2 down, not a bit late, a bit late in the day.
The only plus for me is if you're a player and you're on an appearance money, I'm sprinting on. You've been there, Roscoe, haven't we?
Have you?
Oh, see, the minute you're on an appearance, get me on.
Yeah, I think it's just sort of gone almost. Rangers starting to feel you would. If you take Igaman and Dessers off, that's because you know they've had every chance you can give them today to get a goal.
Yeah, you can't ask for any more if you're a
full
player.
Full time in our championship game at Falkirk, David Friel.
Full time gone, Falkirk 5, Morton 0. Falkirk are going to be champions. They played like champions, a 5-goal cruise against Morton. Scott Arfield scored twice. John McGlynn's men throughout showed their quality, a really one-sided match. Falkirk manager's only complaint might be that they didn't score as many as they could have, but they stayed 8 points clear of Livingston with just 4 games left. It looks like a matter of time before they win that title. Scott Arfield was outstanding throughout, didn't get his hard trick, he did get 2, opened the scoring after just 4 minutes. Gary Wood saved a low shot from Calvin Miller, but Arfield volleyed in the rebound for his 100th goal of his club career. 17 minutes on the clock, it was 2-0. Nicky Hogarth's long free kick was brought down by Calvin Miller. He buried a low shot into the bottom corner. Falkirk played with swagger throughout, some really nice football. And the third came on the stroke of half time. Keelan Adams raced down the right and crossed at Arfield, who volleyed into the roof of the net. 54 minutes, it was 4-0. Ethan Ross took free kick duties and it was the best goal of the match. He curled it into the top corner. Falkirk chased more goals. He created 5 or 6 really good chances after that, and they only had to do with one more. Sub Barney Stewart added the 5th with a clinical header after good work from fellow sub Ross McKeever. The Falkirk fans were chanting about being champions way before the end, and they will be soon. Full time, Falkirk 5, Morton 0.
Well done to Falkirk closing in on that championship title and a place in next season's Scottish Premiership. The difference in a league when you don't have VAR, because we're still 7 minutes away from full time at Ibrox. We're 7 minutes away from full time at Rugby Park as well, and maybe down to a couple of minutes left in Dingwall. I suspect we will go there first. Yeah, it looks like Dingwall will be next up. Not heard much from Dens Park either. Dundee doing a very professional job on St Mirren today, 2-0 up, a goal early in the first half, then one in the second. Minimum fuss really for Dundee, and it looks like it will end that way as well. We've given you the full time teaser, well done for all of you who got Darren McGregor. And now we wait on the full-time whistles in the top flight, Hugh.
Well, 7 minutes added on opens up the possibility. I'll say no more than possibility of something happening at Ibrox, because, you know, 7 minutes, a lot of damage can be done or sustained in 7 minutes. So, but you really wouldn't have a tremendous amount of belief in Rangers.
Full-time at Dens Park, Roger Hannah.
Full time, Dundee 2, St Mirren 0. Dundee are now 8 points clear of St Johnstone in the fight for survival in the Premiership, and have almost certainly ended St Mirren's hopes of a third consecutive top six finish. Simon Murray, yet again, the key man for the D, scoring in both halves. He's now in 15 for the season in the Premiership, level with Dyes and My Dog Celtic. He's got 7 in the last 6 league games, and if Tony Docherty can lead Dundee to safety, no one will have played a bigger role in this survival act than the flame-haired striker. It took him less than 90 seconds to put Dundee ahead. Jordan McGee making progress down the right-hand side. He fed the ball into the box. Sean Adewumi redirected it into the path of Murray, and he guided a low shot across St Mirren goalkeeper Zach Hemming and inside the far post. St Mirren were decent either side of half-time. They threw on to Osio Olasanya, their own top scorer at half-time, for Roland Idowu. They created all sorts of pressure in Trevor Carson's goal early in the second half, but just when you sensed there might be an equaliser coming, there was defensive disaster for St Mirren. The ball rolled back to goalkeeper Hemming on the right-hand side of his box. He tried to boom it up the field. All he succeeded in doing was hitting Murray flush in the face with it. The ball dropped invitingly for the top scorer, and he kept his cool to roll it past a back-tracking Hemming and into the net from fully 30 yards. St Mirren never really recovered from that setback. Richard Taylor in the header. They came off Carson's crossbar near the end, but Dundee always carried the threat in the break as well. And Murray, deep 5 minutes into stoppage time, when he was replaced by Ethan Ingram, got a standing ovation from 6,500 Dundee fans. He's the man who could keep them in the top flight. He's the on-fire front man in the league right now. Dundee 2, St Mirren 0.
St Mirren fans, how disappointing is that? It looks like the top six hope is over. How frustrating, given how impressive you were last week and how optimism had no doubt risen. Give us a call right now, please. What about Aberdeen's trip to Ross County, Dave Galloway?
It finished Ross County 0, Aberdeen 1. Ross County started on the front foot, knocking the ball about well. White had a chance from Brown's free kick, but headed straight at Doohan. Aberdeen responded with Clarkson finding Nisbet, whose effort from a tight angle was saved. Keskinen hit a lovely through ball to put Morris in, but as he ran through, Amisa was really smartly off his line to block. However, Morris scored a superb solo goal to put the visitors ahead on 33 minutes. Great run down the right, what a turn of pace from him. Then he cut inside and smashed the shot in off the underside of the bar. Nisbet had a decent chance just after that, but drove wide from inside the box. The Staggies looked lively from the start of the second half. Randall's low drive turned round the post by Doohan. There was a bizarre moment when Shinney ran into the ref whilst trying to get on the end of Palaversa's corner kick from the right, and from that County got a free kick. Aberdeen passed up a good chance to double their lead when Ockle put a ball nicely into the box, but Guy in front of goal in a good position, he just couldn't capitalise, and the chance was gone. Clarkson cleverly created space for himself about 25 yards out. His shot wasn't too far over. Ross County though had a good share of possession as well, without creating too much, which must have been a source of frustration for them against a well organised visiting team. But in added time, Doohan made a really vital save to deny Hale and seal all 3 points. Far from a vintage performance by the Dons, but a crucial victory for them as they keep up the chase for third place. However, it's looking very interesting, isn't it? Towards the bottom of the league. Here in Dingwall, it's finished Ross County 0, Aberdeen 1.
And we wait. Will this be the other disappointment? There's a big result, sorry, coming in the Championship. Dunfermline 0, Hamilton Accies 1. That's finished. That's a massive result. Gordon, is this the other disappointing thing for Rangers, that even if you're going to lose, there's not even really an element of, you know, kitchen sink about this, which surely that's like the least you would expect at Ibrox?
Yeah, I think even when at half time, I think the Rangers fans, we heard Andrew talking about, they weren't, you know, as noisy as they normally are if Rangers are getting beat, because they've seen this movie before under Barry Ferguson and his staff. They've been two down, they've been two down to Dundee. So I think they were sitting there thinking, right, it'll be the same story. We'll come back, we'll win the game, we'll be disappointed at losing a goal. But I keep saying it, you're playing against a different team. Look, I think that's a big blow. I think Rangers are gradually starting to get back. Barry had them on that bounce. You know what like is, when a manager comes in, you get a couple of good results, character, there's a bit of bounce, but now the bubble's starting to burst again. And
full time Ibrox, here's Andrew McLean.
Rangers 0, Hibs 2, the full-time score at Ibrox. A fifth consecutive Ibrox defeat for Rangers. Three of those under Barry Ferguson. Another two goals conceded. And a first league win for Hibs over Rangers for 7 years. Really no fans left in Ibrox at all at this point. The few that remained did boo at the full-time whistle. Big celebrations from the Hibs supporters. Every single one of them are still in the ground. The opening goal in this game came just 9 minutes in. Big question marks over Jack Butland again on his 100th Rangers appearance. A long throw was headed to the edge of the box for Dylan Levitt. A nice strike from him, low and hard, but Butland looked as if he really should have had it covered, but it squirmed underneath him and gave Hibs an early lead. Rangers then created a few decent chances before the break. All of them fell to Cyril Dessers. One of them he just took too long over to get the shot away. Another was saved by Jordan Smith. Two after that he plays wide and over, much to the frustration of the home crowd, some making their feelings known at the break. No changes made at the break though by Barry Ferguson. Not a whole lot changed in terms of the complexion of the game either. Rangers not cutting Hibs apart. Hibs just happy at that point to get forward when they could. Substitutions were eventually made. Nadim Bahrami was one that came on, and he almost equalised for the hosts, but saw his effort cannon off the Hibs bar. But that was really all Rangers created in the second half before they were punished at the other end. Jordan Obita in the left-back area of the pitch, just with a long ball up the park. Martin Boyle was almost surprised at the space he had to run in on goal, one-on-one with Jack Butland from around the halfway line where he started his run. He scored. The flag immediately went up for offside, but a VAR check found that Boyle was in fact onside. Kevin Clancy signalling, and the Hibs player sprinted over to the away support to celebrate. It is a huge win for Hibs, who are 16 unbeaten in the Premiership and stay ahead of Aberdeen in third. They're sharing that moment over in the away corner. The Rangers players crestfallen. They've made their way over to where the Union Bears are. They've stayed in, not happy at all. Pretty emotionless, that part of the Rangers support. The Rangers players going over very briefly, now turning, making their way to the tunnel with their heads facing the pitch. A pretty damning defeat for Barry Ferguson and his staff ahead of another big European week. It's Athletic Bilbao here on Thursday. The full-time score today though, Rangers 0, Hibs 2.
What did you make of that, Rangers fans? Call us right now please, 01419511025. Where did it go wrong? What about the players' individual performances, the tactics, the bigger picture then? How does this all reflect on that group, on Barry Ferguson perhaps, as he tries to get the job full time? Give us a call right now please, we'd love to hear from you. What about Rugby Park, Fraser?
Kilmarnock 2, Motherwell 0, a comfortable win for Kilmarnock, thoroughly deserved against a lacklustre Motherwell side who, to be fair, played for more than 65 minutes with 10 men, but they didn't threaten a Harris goal at all, not one real shot on target in the 90 minutes. Goals in either half, won by Fraser Murray in the first and Joe Wright in the second. The difference, first half a few chances, saw Kelly ahead at the interval, 22 minutes, Rory McKenzie set up Bobby Wales, really good side foot fin effort by the young striker. Balcombe got a touch, hit the post, Casey cleared it, but Kelly kept it alive. Another low cross in, Balcombe again got a touch, this time it fell nicely to Fraser Murray, who finished easily from 8 yards out. 2 minutes later, real blow for Motherwell, down to 10 men. Balmer in the middle of the park challenged Bobby Wales, he cleared the ball, but perhaps on the follow through, but they're both standing on their feet. It didn't look much in it to me, but VAR Andrew Dallas sent Matthew McDermott to the monitor. He decided to show the Motherwell defender a red card. The referee didn't even give a foul for the challenge in the first place, so it looked harsh to me. The second half, same pattern, few chances, Kelly very comfortable. It was 2-0 and game over on 51 minutes. Anderson header, 12 yards, tipped over by Balcombe. From the corner, Armstrong went deep, and Joe Wright, with a free header, looked the ball back across goal into the net. In 63 minutes, looked all over from Motherwell. Thompson tackled Armstrong on the touchline, really strong challenge. As he got up to his feet, the fullback fell on top of the winger. A bit of a melee, and referee Matthew McDermott showed Thompson a red card. Andrew Dallas once again had to intervene in the VAR and sent the referee to the monitor, and he changed his mind to a yellow card when he realised he'd got it wrong. Bobby Wales, really excellent through, almost made it 3-1-1 with Casey. He jinked past him, got a shot away, good save with his feet by Balcombe, and then they almost got a third 4 minutes into stoppage time. Calvin Ramsey, a substitute with a really good left foot curling shot heading for the top corner, tipped over by Ellery Balcombe. Big win for Kelly, they were excellent today. They're up a place to 9th above Ross County, but more than that, they brought a few others into the fight to avoid a playoff place, including Motherwell, who now have to be very careful. Only 4 points ahead of Dundee in 11th. There's 4 points between 7th and 11th so some end to the end of the season in the top six ahead. Full time at Robbie Park, Kilmarnock 2, Motherwell 0.
Over to you now, 01419511025. These are what Saturday evenings were made for. You go to the game, you watch the game, you listen to the game, then you tell us all about it on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's been that way for years. Let's keep doing it. 01419511025. The obvious talking point is Rangers fans. What's going on there? Another home defeat. How bad was it? Where did it go wrong? Are the players to blame? Did the management get the tactics wrong? How does this reflect on Barry Ferguson as he tries to get the job full time? And so on and so on. Give us a call right now, please. 01419511025, and we'll speak to you next.
After the action, it's your reaction. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Hugh Keevans, Ross McCormack and Gordon DL are here. Give us a call right now. What did you witness today? What did you make of it? Did the referee annoy you? Did your own team annoy you? Did your own team entertain you? Whatever it was, give us a call right now, please, on 01419511025. Just to set the scene for you, I've got a funny feeling the phone lines will be mostly taken up by Rangers fans, because it is a fifth consecutive home defeat at Ibrox after Hibs went there and won 2-0 elsewhere in the top flight. Dundee 2, St Mirren 0. St Mirren's top six hopes all but over. St Mirren fans, how do you feel about that? Similarly, Motherwell fans, you now really in a relegation playoff battle. 2-0 defeat at Kilmarnock, and Ross County 0, Aberdeen 1. Aberdeen might have thought that would be enough to take them third. Hibs had other ideas. David is a Rangers fan. What did you make of that today, David?
I thought they were very lacklustre in every part of the park today. I feel for young Liam Kelly sitting on the bench and having to watch Jack Butland in goal. Jack Butland has been left wanting the last few games, and how he keeps getting it in front of Liam Kelly is beyond me. There's nothing changed since Philip Clement left.
And there we are then. That's got to be the biggest statement of all, because people felt that things had changed and that this team had so much character and they were winning games that they wouldn't have won previously and so on. You're not buying that?
No, I'm definitely not buying it. I also follow Clybank, and I'm gutted that I never went to see Clybank today. I went to see Rangers just to follow my first team, but Clybank won the West of Scotland Championship. I'm gutted I never went to see that. I left after Martin Boyle scored the second goal.
Yeah, well done to Clydebank. We did reference it earlier, but don't mind it. Again, near neighbours of us, and congratulations to them. But here's quite a damning statement from David on the line about Rangers.
Yeah, you know, it's a bad day for Barry Ferguson. Neil McCann, during the week, did Rangers press and said, yes, Barry's ready for the job, we're ready to go with him, and then they go out and produce a display such as the one they delivered today. The body of work, and I keep repeating the phrase, the body of work since they took over is far too erratic, and they have a dodgy goalkeeper. David is quite right. I posed the question earlier on when we saw just how bad Jack Butland was at the opening goal from Dylan Levitt. There are serious questions to be asked about whether you play him against Athletic Bilbao, or do you, because if you keep on playing a goalkeeper who keeps on throwing them in, then that reflects badly on you because you picked them. So that's another thing that Barry Ferguson has to be careful about. But Thursday is now of critical importance for Barry Ferguson. For this Rangers team to be as bad as they are, and they're bad domestically, for that team to be in the last eight of a European competition beggars belief, but they are. And Thursday is monumental, but today, for me, throws huge question marks against the possibility of Barry Ferguson becoming Rangers manager.
They've got an Achilles heel at Ibrox just now for some reason. You look at the last five games, they've lost something in the region of 9 goals and they've only scored 1. That's not acceptable. They get through the European game with penalty kicks, and listen, it doesn't matter how you get there. But if I was Barry Ferguson, they've been lucky, not lucky, showed great character away from home, but you can't keep giving yourself that mountain to climb. You've got to be, make sure defensively you're solid to go and win games. You see Hibs' second goal tonight, this afternoon, sorry. If you're Barry Ferguson, I don't care who the best coach in the world is, that's schoolboy defending, terrible defending from Rangers. But right now, for some reason, and I don't know what it is, their Achilles heel is Ibrox.
I mean, David, five in a row at Ibrox. I mean, Barry Ferguson wasn't in charge for all of them, but how do you sum that up?
I'm in total shock with it. I've followed Rangers all my life, and I've never heard of it. I mean, even two or three, but to get five, there's something got to change. I hope the 49ers are coming in with a blank checkbook, honestly, because something has got to give at Ibrox. We've blamed Clement, we've blamed the board, we've blamed the players on the park. Now, some of the players are on 35 grand a week. I don't even earn 35 grand a year. And to pay my money to go and watch that, I'm not feeling entertained. And lo and behold, I was stupid enough to go the day and pay my full season ticket money for next season.
Did you get a receipt?
No, but if anybody's listening and want to buy one, then...
Well, you're right. It'll do it half price.
The renewal forms went out yesterday, as I understand it. And you're asking for supporters like David to pay their money while not knowing who the manager will be, what the players will look like at the start of next season, because there are so many questions. Cherney, Rangers at the moment can't afford them. Hadji looks as if he's off. Cortez, they have to pay for him, but he never plays. There are so many things, and you're asking fans to take a leap of faith and pay hundreds of pounds for a season ticket, and you have no idea what the place will look like. That situation is not helped by results like today's, and by that history making, in a negative sense, history making five defeats in a row at Ibrox. It had never ever happened. It has now.
Let's bring in, well, we'll thank David for his time. Congratulations on the Clyde Bank link though. David Williams, a Rangers fan on the other line. Sum up your feelings tonight, William.
Hello panel, I'll try and get through this rant as quick as I can, right?
Take your time.
This team has served its purpose. I would keep Suter, Sterling, I would keep Raskin, I'll try and get Cherney, and I'll keep Dessers just for backup, right? This team, this bunch of chancers have just thrown Barry Ferguson under the bus, right? He was having hopes of the job, no chance. He's not going to get it now. Shu probably agree with me here. I started supporting Rangers, right, in 1981, and but that period of 5 years, the Sooners came in, we were really, really bad. We were finishing fourth, fifth. But we'd never had five results that Ibrox could beat in a row, even with that team. And we were pretty bad then, finished behind Aberdeen and Hearts and Celtic and Dundee United. But this, these chances, no. The new owners need to come in, keep who I said and give them a chance. But see the rest, thanks for your service. Shoes right, Butland, too many mistakes. Ta-ta, thank you very much.
So that's all very much on the players today as far as you're concerned.
100%, God, it's five defeats in a row at Ibrox. It's the worst in their history, you should say. It's disgraceful. You know what I mean? They're turning up the day thinking, oh, we'll go out and beat Hibs because we are Rangers. No, you've got to fight for it, as you said. You've got to fight, you've got to work. No lackluster performances like that. No, it's just not good enough.
I disagree with that, right, in the sense of you can't just throw it. And as much as Rangers fans have got their opinions on all on the players, you can't have the fans coming out and saying, we were 2-0 down at Kilmarnock, Barry changed it, Barry done this and Barry done that. Look at what happened at Dundee. We went to a back four, we won. You've got to go collectively here. You can't just keep Barry Ferguson and the staff out of this. They're a part of it. Yes, I totally agree. There are players there that need
shipped out. I think Rangers need a new revamp, and I think every Rangers fan hoping the 49ers come in, and as the caller said before, a blank check. I don't know if that'll be ham.
No.
But you can't separate yourself when you lose a game, but when you win a game, talk about how great the manager
is. But to be fair to William,
you've got to take it collectively.
Yeah, but to be fair to William, Barry Ferguson's in because the players were poor before, and they're still poor. So if we're talking about the five games, two of them were under Philippe Clement.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you could say Barry Ferguson's not the imp, but it's the same players that are letting out two different managers down.
Yeah,
you could look at it that way.
Yeah, but he says like the players are throwing Barry under the bus. But it wasn't that long ago they went to Celtic Park, and everybody was talking about the players, talking about the manager, talking about Barry's getting a lift out of them. He's getting more out of them. They're more well organised. He changed his system. I think Barry's trying a lot of things in his coaching staff. I'm not having a go here. What I'm saying is, don't separate it when it suits you.
Sure. What do you think of that, William? Are you being a bit selective?
No, not at all. Gordon, you played in the Rangers team when I was talking about in the 80s, right? And we were struggling. If we never ever lost five games in a row at Ibrox, so what are you talking about, man? Five games in a row at Ibrox, come on.
I'm not saying it is. I think it's. I've just read out your stats there that in five games you've lost nine goals and only scored one. Of course, for Rangers standards, of course, I'm totally agreeing with you. But you can't just now separate the coaching staff and the manager and say, right, let's blame it all on the players. It's got to be a collective thing that's not good enough.
And from that perspective of the collective view, the players, to an extent, let down Clement, but Clement was a poor manager at Rangers. The players, to an extent, have let down Barry Ferguson, but Barry Ferguson's progress at Rangers has been nothing other than erratic. And if this is the audition, as we like to call it, the audition is going badly, except for that quirk, Europe. And that will come into perspective on Thursday night. Athletic Bilbao will ask serious questions of Rangers. Do they have any answers?
I'll go another way around about this. What William's asking for there is just not going to happen. Now, I'm not disagreeing with the players that he's named that they should keep and the players that they should get rid of, but that's going to take two or three transfer windows. Haven't seen how these guys work at Leeds. They didn't come in there and throw a blank chequebook at it and spend all sorts of millions of pounds. To get these players out of Ibrox, they're on big contracts, they've got a little bit of time left on it, they're going to have to pay them up. That's going to mean millions out, as well as, like you say, if they're going to go and sign Cherney and they have to sign Cortez, you could be looking at 25, 30 million pounds by the time they buy another couple of players as well. So that just ain't going to happen. So unfortunately, it might just get a little bit worse before it gets a little bit better.
What about Jack Butland, William?
Oh my God, what would he do today? As an ex-England internationalist, right, how's he not saving that? Look at the mistake against Dundee, Motherwell. He's making the hard look ridiculous. He's making the easy look unbelievably poor, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Terrible.
Well, thank you to William. It's 0141 951 1025. If you want to add your thoughts, please do, and we'll speak to you next.
0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
You should be out and about, coming out of the stadiums now, back in the car, the train, supporters, bus, whatever it is. Give us a call. What was your game like today? The results, the performances, the talking points, the controversies, whatever you want to share with us, do it right now, please. 0141 951 1025. We'll hear from the managers as well. Very interested to hear what Barry Ferguson has to say. We can look ahead to tomorrow as well. Celtic fans, what are you thinking there? Because as a result of Rangers today, you can now win the league next weekend. If you win tomorrow and win next weekend, that would be that. So give us a shout. Look ahead to tomorrow by all means. It was another big day up and down the table. Drama everywhere, and none more so than Ibrox. So I've got a funny feeling we'll keep going on that theme. Even the Hibs fans, Gordon, because it's the same old way. It'll get lost. It'll be, what did Rangers do wrong? Rangers crisis, etc. But what a result. And not as if this is some sort of accident. 16 games unbeaten. Two Edinburgh derbies, Celtic at home, Rangers at home, Rangers away, Tannadice, Pittodrie. you can barely do justice to how good a run that is.
Oh, they must be feeling absolutely brilliant. We heard Fraser talking about last week, a home game against St Johnstone, over 17,000. They're buying into what Hibs are doing. And you look at this result today, if you're Rangers, of course it's disappointing. You're at Ibrox, you're Rangers, you're expected to win. But it's not one of these results that everybody sits up like a Queen's Park. Hibs have went there in the best form of their life. They're well organised. They got the perfect start when they were gifted a goal. Jack Butland puts one in the back of the net. They're well drilled. They've got a good young manager. He's building a great reputation in the game. And sometimes you go to look at the opposition and say, well done to them. And Hibs fans and everybody concerned will enjoy their Saturday night.
Very impressive from Hibs, Hugh.
Let me put it into perspective for you. The last time Hibs had a run like this, I had yet to be born.
Oh,
how long ago do you think that was, Roscoe?
150 years ago.
1940s. Early in the 1940s, the last time that Hibs had a run of this size. And tremendous credit to David Gray, and on the collective theme, tremendous credit to players who were at one stage getting badly involved with the crowd at Easter Road. And there were one or two unsavoury moments. No one's like that now.
Lewis is on the line. What did you make of it, Lewis?
Pretty poor, mate, to be honest. There's nothing nothing exciting about them. There's no changes. It's the same stuff every single week. It's embarrassing. It's beyond a joke now.
Is this just a squad then that, you know, is just not good enough, and whether Barry Ferguson comes in and tries to turn things around or not, can this be polished anymore, or do you just have to grin and bear it and get through to next season?
Well, it's been the same team for a good couple of years now. Obviously there's some additional players that have come in, but it's been the same results every single season. It's not changed. Like, we're losing against Queen's Park, who, well, they're nobody in a sense. Like, it's so poor.
Do you think so are you one that puts this on the players, Lewis, or do you think Barry Ferguson has to still take some responsibility when a result doesn't go your way?
I feel he's got some responsibility, but he's coming into a team where Clement's had the same similar results. There must be something deep down. There's either players that don't want to be here, or I just feel like they're not interested, to be honest. You can see that there's lack of creativity. They stand in the same line on the 80-yard line, don't move. There's no one that's making space. You know, they're trying to feed the ball into the box. The tactics are wrong on his behalf. I just feel like there's just a loss of interest from a lot of the players, yeah.
I think Gordon as well, in the build-up on the last few weeks, you know, you overanalyse these things probably. Is it going to be a back three? Is it going to be a back four? A Suter's back, that should help. And now Dujon Sterling's the centre-back in amongst a team that's got Balogun and Proper on the bench. It just doesn't, it's not really clicking.
Like,
because they've had to change it mid-game anyway. But today, as Ross, I think, said earlier, this was Hibs today. So they were too good for you to go 2-0 down, and then
They changed it up at Dundee, 3 to a back 4. They're throwing, you know, all of a sudden down at Kilmarnock, first game, 2-0 down, take them, you know, make a substitution, change it, and it works for them. They look like an outfit that just throws darts at a dartboard and hope for the best. That I'm like most of the Rangers supporters, probably travelling home from Ibrox tonight. Fenerbahce over there, unbelievable, brilliant to be, right? They go to Celtic Park, big result, great for them. They show great character against Dundee, but it's back to the same situation today. And the Rangers fans are now telling you, oh, it's the same thing, we're back to the same. So that bounce, that enthusiasm, everything that went with when Barry and the staff and everybody come in, and the good feeling about them. We had people on here saying Rangers will win every game, they'll not lose another game to the end of season, we've got ourselves going. They're back to square one. They were up against a good Hibs side, a confident Hibs side, but it's Ibrox, it's Rangers. You're still expecting Rangers to go and win it.
The game, and that's the problem.
Yeah,
that is the problem. When they're expected to go and win games, they haven't got the, how do I say it, probably mentality. They don't have enough control of a game to go and dominate a game at Ibrox.
The games that you mentioned, Fenerbahce, Celtic Park, they give the impression of a side who pick and choose their matches. You can't pick and choose. Celtic will be 16 points clear of Rangers tomorrow because they perform consistently well.
I think that's a great word, consistent, Hugh. And I think that's where the problem with Rangers are. You look at them 1 week, and especially in Europe, and you're thinking, how can that team go out and produce that? You look at them at Celtic Park when they had to dig deep because Celtic were looking like they were a team that's going to go and win it. Eggerman gets a great goal. They're celebrating, quite rightly so. But the consistency has absolutely killed them.
How does this reflect on Barry Ferguson's chances for the job, Lewis?
I don't want him, to be fair. I think it's just, it's good to have him in at the moment. But like, we need someone that knows players, that can break down a defence, because we don't have that. We have a lack of creativity every single game. And you're saying it's consistency, but it's not. It is inconsistent, but we don't have the players to break down a defence. We don't.
It's remarkable how much Rangers have to do. We'll see what happens against Athletic Bilbao. It doesn't seem great, but next season what Rangers have to do is Butland going to stay as goalkeeper? Are they willing to pay 6.5 million for Tierney? They have to pay 4.5 for Cortez, even though he never plays, because that's a contractual obligation. But the future of so many players is up in the air. Will Tavernier come back for another season? This, that and the other. And as Ross McCormack knows, 49ers Enterprises, Andrew Kavanagh, will not come in and throw money at it like emulsion getting thrown on a wall. They will have to balance the books. They will have to look after the club financially, because the club hasn't been looked after financially for a long time. So there's so much going on, and Ross made the point earlier that this is not an overnight fix. This is going to take a while.
See, in fairness though, right, see if we're talking about, and I'm asking the question about, you know, Barry Ferguson, what does this do for his chances of the job? Maybe we're being unfair, because he doesn't have a sort of managerial CV that under normal circumstances would put you,
get you a job,
would put you in the position to get the Rangers job. So he comes in, and then people say, well, okay, he could get the job, but he'll need to win every game between now and the end of the season, and he'll need to get to the Europa League final. Is any manager doing that with this group of players?
Absolutely.
So it's all kind of stacked against them anyway, then.
Yeah, I feel sorry for Barry, but one thing I will congratulate him on: Rangers need somebody to go in that dugout and bring that club together, and he was a man, and he's achieved that. Because if that's any other normal Rangers manager today, you're hearing boos, you're hearing fans really upset. They'll not do that with Barry Ferguson. Barry Ferguson was there when Rangers needed them. Going forward, getting into next season, and I heard Neil McCann talking about, look, we're not frightened of a challenge. I totally agree. I think there are good characters in there. But I've got my doubts going forward for Rangers, where they want to be, that right now Barry is the man to take them there.
Just the creativity part that everyone goes on about now, it doesn't really sit with me, because on one hand, people are talking about the creativity in the team isn't there, but nearly every single show here on the Super Scoreboard that I listen to, how many callers are calling up saying, oh, Dessers misses too many chances in a game? So if he's missing too many chances in a game, that means they're creating chances.
I think I kind of know what they mean though, Gordon. There doesn't seem to be that craft. Now, they're going to get chances almost, because you're Rangers, you're against Dundee, you're against Hibs, with the best respect. You're going to get chances. But it can't be any coincidence. Raskin's best games are against Celtic and in Europe. Diamandi's best games are against Celtic and in Europe. They are better at getting in about people, winning the ball back, then making things happen on a transition, rather than this constant control and unlocking.
Yeah.
So I think that, I know what Ross means, because they clearly get chances, but they're not a team that you think, oh yeah, look at them, they're creating this, they're probing that, they're controlling. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, moving players about. I totally agree with you. You look at them, and as you say, when they win the ball back, they can go and create. You look at them over in Turkey, they were excellent. You know, I think it was Raskin through to Tierney for a third goal. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. But you're right, they don't dominate and move players, and they're not that type of team. So as much as everybody can go and criticise them, look, they are what they are. They're inconsistent. You never know what you're getting with them. One minute, if you're a Rangers fan, you must be right up there so high. You look at the European thing. Now, okay, they won in penalties. You get back to Jack Butland. I think that Barry Ferguson's probably got his biggest decision to make since he walked in as interim manager. And that is, does he go with Jack Butland on Thursday? I'll be honest with you, I think that's a real hard decision, because Butland, I don't think the back four right now, or back five, whatever it may be, will have a lot of confidence in him. I don't even think Jack Butland's got a lot of confidence in him. And goalkeepers, some goalkeepers have that. So I don't know what O'Barry will do, but I'll tell you what, he'll be thinking about it.
Everything's a big call for him now, because the position has changed. Today has helped shift the dial once again. Barry Ferguson, as things stand right now, won't get the Rangers job. But if he picks the right team and knocks out Athletic Bilbao, he's back in the hunt. However, he's got to make the big calls, because his job depends on it.
Let's thank Lewis and bring in Chris, who's a Motherwell fan. How are you feeling this afternoon, Chris?
Hi guys, thanks very much for having us on.
My pleasure.
Really disappointed that my son and I, Adam, just come home from the game there. I really fear the worst for us between now and the end of the season. I look at the teams around us when we're in the bottom six. I don't see many points for us to pick up based on the squad that we have, and despite the fact we have 36 players, which I think is quite bizarre for a Scottish team not in Europe, why they would have a squad that's so large. I don't see where the creativity, where the gold are going to come from, and I really am concerned for our survival.
Yeah, I'm looking at that table, and the only thing you think, and you and I have been talking about it, Gordon, is you've still got a few teams that need to pass you. I'm a bit concerned for Motherwell. I really am. Hearts next week before the split. I think you said two wins maybe, and to keep them there safe. You look at Dundee today, 3 points. You look at Kilmarnock today, 3 points. You look at Ross County, you never know what you're getting with them. All of a sudden, it brings Motherwell into that little, you know, playoff situation, because let's face it, St Johnstone's gone. I'm with the caller there. I look at Motherwell just now. We have to crawl over a line and then regroup and see what the manager brings during the close season with signings and changing the style of play and everything. I spoke about it earlier. Again, coming in just now, and the players train at 3 o'clock, and I know you like to try things. That, for me, this isn't the time. Get over the line, get that safety, and then move on.
I don't know, what difference does it make what time of day that you train?
Look, maybe I'm making too much of that. I think they do it on a Friday to try and mirror what happens the next day. I think there's a lot of issues at Motherwell without pretending that's why they're losing games.
There's an issue now, because in the last two Saturdays they've lost 6 goals in two games, and that's the first priority that has to be addressed. Hearts will have something big to play for next weekend. I wouldn't, with the best will in the world, see Motherwell get anything out of Hearts, and then they're right in the dogfight, right in the mix, and that will be a short, sharp test of Michael Vimmer.
Whatever he's done, he's made Motherwell just now probably easy to score against. They got up to Aberdeen, they got off to a great start, and they lose 4. I know it's difficult today down at Kilmarnock. They go down to 10 men. They're still losing goals. They're not scoring as many as well. That's when you start to look for a bit of trouble.
Any part of you feel hard done by the early red card, Chris?
It was hard to, from the position, the vantage point we had, it was hard to see. I've not seen any replays since. But one thing Hugh said there about the defensive issues we have, what, now missing McGinn, missing Liam Gordon, and Balmer will be suspended. But if we're going to look to play three centre-backs, I see us being very weak at the back.
I am never one to blame it on that, Gordon, because I think Mother were poor last week. They didn't start great today. They had nothing really about them, so I don't know what impact it has. But you see a lot of complaints about that red card from fans of any team.
I think it's a very, very I've watched it over and over. It's a poor decision, Gordon. I'm not saying Motherwell would have went on and won the game. I'm taking nothing away from Kamara. We're talking about the decision. It's a dreadful decision on my part.
Yeah, I think given what we've seen the last week with the tackle on Andy Halliday last week, which was a blatant red card for me, the Merseyside derby won midweek, even worse.
Do you know what's crazy about this, right? You'll never be able to prove this. It's almost like that Merseyside derby one has got in the referees' heads for this weekend. I can almost see that. Yeah, you know what it's like. Listen, lads, let's bear in mind that follow throughs are important. But Kofi Bamford doesn't even dive in. He doesn't lunge. He does follow through, but while standing up, you know, kind of kicks through the ball.
But that's what I mean. Anyone who's you don't even have to play the game. You got to know when you go in for that kind of tackle, when you're standing up, your follow through has to go somewhere. It can't just stop dead. It was always going to follow through. It's never a red in a million years.
I don't know if this makes you, Chris, or you, Gordon, feel any better. In the 9 full seasons since I think since the playoffs were brought back in the 9 full seasons, the highest points total to ever finish in 11th is 36. Motherwell are currently on 38.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say it's impossible. Of course it is, because I'm looking, I think it could be higher than that this season. But as an example, it's usually gone back 35, 34, 35, 36, 32, 33, 35, 36, 36. That's the 11th place points total. Motherwell are on 38 at the moment.
Yeah, I do believe that a couple of wins keeps them there. That's fine. They're safe and sound. But I'm with Chris a little bit. I see a free fall. I see them losing goals. I don't see them scoring goals. They're losing key players. I just think it's worrying times. I would just love them to get a couple of results, and then that takes all the pressure off them. But you look at the teams below, they're the same. They'll fancy catching.
Just quickly, sorry Hugh, 'cause I want one more question to Chris before we move on. Chris, do you think the Ibrox performance and result, because it was very good, I think that's maybe put a bit of a false impression on how good things were going to be? Because actually, if you take that out, there's not really been loads of positives out with that. I mean, there's been some fine moments, but nothing else really, is there?
Yeah, it's potentially raised the expectation, but what I would say is that the manager has inherited the same squad that Stuart Kettlewell had, and he's playing very similar systems, and ultimately what we're now seeing is getting very similar results as to what Stuart got since December. So.
That's the problem then, isn't it? Because we always got calls and tweets on here saying that Stuart Kettlewell was the problem.
Well, I would have agreed with the callers, but because he brought the players in, ultimately.
Yeah, but I mean, you're kind of looking for a real upturn, aren't you, if you're going to? And to be fair, Motherwell didn't make the managerial change, he walked, but I think there was an assumption from a lot of fans that things would turn upwards, and it's not necessarily looking that way. Thank you to Chris.
I'm just marrying two big stories together in my head here. In the midst of Motherwell and you two worrying, and Chris on the line worrying, in the midst of all this, they go to Ibrox and win. What does that say about Rangers?
Well, there is that. Anyway, we'll start hearing from the managers next. After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line. Let's hear from David Gray on a famous win at Ibrox 2018, the last time Hibs went there and won. This carries on a brilliant run for them and piles more misery on Rangers. Keep the calls coming. We've got time for more. Here's David Gray.
That's massive, clearly, and when you look at the results as well, we needed to win to make sure we stayed in third. Said to all the players before the game and all my build up to the game about the level of performance that's required to come here and win. History tells you it's a real difficult place for a Hibs team to come. 2018 was the last time we came here and won in the league, so the level of performance required, I definitely got that for every player today, and I'm delighted for the players because they fully deserve it.
16 unbeaten in the league now, does that feel like one of the more significant ones out of that run?
Yeah, I think every time you come to the end of the game, every game seems to be the most important one, and it's going to be that way moving forward. Every win, every point we can get between now and the end of the season is going to be vital. But obviously coming here, the magnitude of the game and the level of performance required, it makes it feel extra special. I think back to the last time we came here earlier in the season, it was a really good performance that day as well. I know we lost the game, but it was we took a lot from that. The players experienced coming to, some of them for the first time coming to Ibrox, and what that feels like, you know, 50,000 supporters, the intensity that Rangers can put you under at times, and we certainly felt that at times today as well.
Yeah, I thought they deserved it. They were excellent. Look, you sometimes got to get a little bit of luck, and they got that early on in the game. And they were so well organised, everything about them. Then Boyle with his pace absolutely kills Rangers' defence and kills the game off. And at 2-0 down, usually you see Rangers come back. Hibs were too good for that to happen.
Let's bring in James in Drumchapel. How's it going, James?
How you doing, guys? All right?
Yeah, good, thanks, James. What's the biggest issue then?
For me, I heard folk going on about Dessers. See, for me, guys, that's not our main problem. Our one is that goalkeeper. For the love of God, man, how many mistakes is that guy going to make in a single game before he's either dropped? The only reason he's ever been dropped in that Rangers team is when his wife gave birth. For me, we've went for a goalkeeper in Alan McGregor that made one or two mistakes a season to a guy that's making three or four every single game. He's no good enough to be the Rangers goalkeeper. And for me, he should be chased. He should be the first one out the door. Never mind blaming Dessers for obviously missing the chances. When you've got a goalkeeper like that that's costing you every single week, and let's face it, he's coasting through, by the way. Not one person is on here digging him up. For me, he's an absolute disgrace, a goalkeeper, and probably single-handedly one of the worst we've ever had.
Would you go into a game like Bilbao, as big as it is and as challenging as it is, and make the change now and put Liam Kelly in for that game, or can you maybe not do that?
For me, he wouldn't do any worse than what Jack Butland's done. So, and I don't think Butland could have any complaints about being dropped. But for me, he's just... Barry Ferguson was quick enough to substitute the Nasala against Kilmarnock for not having the greatest of games. Why is he not doing it with Butland? Now, that's two games in a row now that he's got. He obviously nearly cost his game against Dundee, and then he does the exact same again. Every time the ball goes to him, you've got your heart in your mouth. He could beat for a pass back from Kyogo. Every time the ball goes to his left hand side, he gets beat. The guy, he's just an absolute bomb scare. And folk can, you know, you can say what you want about other positions in the park. If you don't have a goalkeeper that your team is secure on, now I've always been brought up watching guys like Chris Woods, Andy Gorham and Alan McGregor, Stephen Kloss, real, real good goalkeepers that you could depend on. This guy is an absolute bomb scare. And for whatever reason, he gets picked game in and game out. It's no good. Look, the league's done. So put Liam Kelly in and let's see what he can do. The folk will probably come on and say, oh, you can't make changes for Europe. See, European football, guys, I could not give a toss about European football. It's without doubt, I want the league back. But yet again, my club and whoever has been running it has ran us into the ground, and now we're beating what's obviously been shown. It's just an absolute disgrace. Patrick Stewart and whoever else is in charge of that club, I hope and pray that this takeover goes through, because see, if it doesn't, we are going to play second fiddle to Celtic for the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years. They're going about 9 in a row. Guys, we'll be lucky, man, if we stoke 12 or 13 in a row.
What a call from James. A passion. He's barely stopped for breath, but strung it all together and made a lot of sense there, Hugh.
Let's deal with the goalkeeper first of all. I said as soon as he lost the goal, a question mark over his name for Bilbao, because not only does he make several mistakes, they are incredible mistakes. The goal he lost to Dundee last week was laughable for a man of his alleged reputation, and he's at it again today. So Bilbao is Barry Ferguson's last chance, because the performances in the league have not been anything like good enough. You can say, oh, they came back, but they have to come back so often you have to question everything about Barry Ferguson and what's going on. Bilbao is his last chance, and if you stick with Jack Butland, okay, it was your call. Whether it's right or wrong remains to be seen, but it's your call. And the number of times he gets a game, it reflects on Barry Ferguson, because he's the guy who keeps on picking him. But to pick on the last point that James made, he said he doesn't care about Europe. He wants domestic supremacy back. Celtic have now got the 13th title of the last 14. They have overtaken Rangers in terms of trophies won. This matters to James and other supporters of both clubs. James wants domestic superiority back. it'll be a while before they can even look at it, I think.
Ross, the specifics of Jack Butland's weaknesses, James mentions what was a theory for a while about, you know, loan to his left. But the problem is, in the last couple of weeks, it's the stuff that's going straight at him. You know, you could almost forgive previously it was like nitpicking a little bit, but last week's is a incredible. Today's is hit with a bit of power at least, but again right through him.
Yeah, even the second goal obviously was through his legs. I look at the second goal as being a great finish. I think that's the best finish when you're 1-1 going through the legs. But Barry Ferguson's in a really difficult position here, because you don't want to make that call for such a big game in Europe. But then again, if he doesn't make the call and he sticks with Jack Butland and he makes another mistake, you know what's going to happen. It's going to get labelled at him that he is not learning from his mistakes, blah, blah, blah. We've seen how it happens before. So I don't envy that decision. Now, I agree with most of the callers in thinking that Liam Kelly wouldn't let Rangers down. Never has any time he's played. But it's such a tough decision for Barry.
I think it's a tough decision, but I think that if you are putting yourself out there to be a manager of the size of Rangers, you've got to make tough decisions. Yeah. I don't think, look, the fans have no confidence in the goalkeeper just now. I don't think the defenders have. And what makes it worse, probably, Jack Butland knows he's an experienced goalkeeper. He's playing with no confidence whatsoever, and that happens to players. I don't think Jack Butland's the worst goalkeeper I've ever seen. I think he's a decent goalkeeper. But I agree with Ross. I think if you're going to decide something, big decisions have got to be made, and it's up to Barry and the staff to look at that on Thursday night.
Yeah, it's a huge call. And he's a man with no chance where this argument is concerned. If he leaves out Butland and Liam Kelly plays and Rangers lose, why did you leave him out? If he leaves him in and Rangers lose, why did you leave him in?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a Rangers team. Miles from being a Rangers team. This is your bread and butter. I've said it, I think I feel I'm repeating myself. European games, Celtic games, are these his games to get up for? These are the games that this group of players struggle with. And it was evident today. Yet we started good again. Another mistake. Go into your shells, feel sorry for each other. We come back out it after 10 minutes, finish okay. Second half, I demand a lot more from them.
It's about all I've got time for to squeeze in of Barry Ferguson, but my word to you, I think he got his point across at the start.
First point, he said, this is not a Rangers team. Well, I'm sorry, Barry, but you're in charge. And the last point he made about the changes, I made demands, he didn't listen to you.
It's a good line though, that, Gordon. Never a Rangers team. Miles away from being a Rangers team.
Listen, I don't mind honesty. Look, he knows what the standards are. The standards aren't there. And right now, he's got to be part of that because he's interim manager. So it's okay taking the pats in the back when you're beating Celtic and your European form, okay in the big games. But you've got to stand up and be counted with the players that it isn't good enough.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you, Ross McCormick, Gordon DL, Hugh Keevans, the top team round the grounds. But the biggest thanks does go to you. It was another busy and dramatic day across Scottish football. We will reflect on it all on Monday night, because we're not done yet. If Celtic win tomorrow, they can then win the title next weekend. The top six could be settled tomorrow as well if Hearts can get the victory. So loads to get through. We'll see you Monday night at 6 o'clock, and the GBX is up next.